Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, what's up, players? WWE Hall of Famer Teddy Long. I just want to endorse some of my brothers that are doing an outstanding job of podcasts. I'm talking about the first Black Champ podcast, one of the greatest podcasts of all time, and it's growing and growing each and every day. Talking about my man, J.R. Bang, and Champ from the Port. Players, you better take a listen to them, and if you don't, I'll have J.R. Bang and Champ put them in a tag team match, and it's going to be a lot of trouble.
Hello, hello, and good evening, or I mean, good, you know, just good day to you, you know what I'm saying, because you may not listen when we going live, but man, Wrestlepalooza, as well as, I think it's All Out, if I want to get the PLEs correctly, they went head-to-head this weekend, and Indianapolis, man, Indianapolis has taken over my entire world between the Colts game and Wrestlepalooza, my timelines and everything, and we'll get into that. But it's time to talk about it. And it's time to talk about all of it. Everything wrestling like nobody else does it in the world, even on the evening. All right, you hear me? So get ready. It is time for the first Black Champ podcast. And I am still your podcast intercontinental champion, even without the bell on my shoulder. You dig? It's Camp from the Port.
And I am JR Bang. Make sure you rate, like, subscribe, download, wherever you get your favorite podcast. Barbershop Network is the home. Follow us on everything at the FBC POD. Great show. But before we get started with the show, bear down. Let me just say.
Yeah.
Bear down, ho.
Hey.
Bear down, ho. You know what I'm saying? Chicago Bears defeated the Dallas Cowboys 31-14. Caleb Williams, 294 passing yards, 4 touchdowns. You know what I'm saying? Shouts out to Tyler Perry for the 4.
No.
Shouts out to Tyler Perry.
Tyler Perry, 4 touchdowns. Kona Hustler, you did.
You know what I'm saying? That also was one of the wildest videos that I see that they shaking up 4 corner hustler, throwing down the ricks on the Tyler Perry television
like,
show.
Like off the rip, too. It was like, yeah. Quick transition. Boom. Yeah. Boom. I was like, oh.
Oh, okay. Right. This is what we're doing here. But shouts out to Chicago Bears. Caleb Williams, 298 yards, 4 touchdowns. The Wiener Circle. Shouts out to the Wiener Circle. The Wiener Circle tweeted yesterday that if Caleb Williams get 4 touchdowns, it's free hot dogs on Tuesday.
Oh, okay. So you really meant to say that. I was like, who is the Wiener Circle? Hey, no, salute, though, 4 touchdowns, all right.
No, the Wiener Circle that we've been to the restaurant. The actual Wiener Circle. They said, yo, we sell, hey, they get 4 touchdowns. He throw 4 touchdowns. We selling hot dogs. So it's free glizzies on Tuesday at the Wiener Circle. Everybody go ahead and get your glizzies everything. Shouts, this is not going to be a stressful show. I know you guys are normally like, yo, we record earlier, but recording later. And then plus, I know you're going to see some content from Scott and Flo's and the gang as we celebrate the Bears' first win of the season. Bears go to Las Vegas next week to play the Raiders. So you already know what that hope is. We lost the first 2 games of the season. We get the 2-2 before the bye. Ben Johnson, Caleb Williams looking good. Roma Dunze, 4 touchdowns on the year. Lead all wide receivers in touchdowns and stuff. So,
Hey, let's go. Let's go. Bear down. Let's go, man. I know my uncle is very happy. Shout out to Uncle Butch, man. I know you happy that the Bears got one in there in week three.
Yeah, so, but what we here to talk about is wrestling like nobody else.
Yeah.
And yesterday was a great day for wrestling. AEW All Out. Shouts out to our man, John Moxley, who wrestled Darby Allin in a coffin match, but it wasn't as dangerous as some of the it was not as dangerous as some of the matches we're used to, though.
Okay. Hey, but listen, in 2025, those two names, sure, go ahead.
Yeah,
y'all done did everything but the damn Russell on top of the Sears Tower match. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, one of us got to get thrown off the Sears Tower.
I feel like after we saw what we saw during the pandemic, I forgot who got thrown off the roof before they tried to get the Money in the Bank on the ladder. But hey,
yeah.
I think it was Rey Mysterio actually that got thrown over. You know, anything's possible. If you believe, a dope match between Adam Hangman Page and Kyle Fletcher for the AEW World Championship. Chris Statlander is now your new AEW Women's Champion.
Yeah,
you're new. The Hurt Business lost to Ricochet and them two other niggas. You know what I'm saying? I forgot their names, but it's Ricochet and two other niggas is what it's called. So there's a lot of black on black crime yesterday, but we started off with that. And then we end it with WrestlePalooza, the first PLE on ESPN. They was making so much of a big deal about this pay-per-view, what it means. Triple H came out at the beginning of the event and said, sports is entertainment. Yeah. And now this is the final form. The final form. But before we get to the final form, I want to shout out all of the wrestling I used to watch on ESPN that we've seen, you know, AWA, GWF, USWA. This was wrestling that we saw on ESPN once upon a time. If you had ESPN Classic, you got to see old wrestling on ESPN Classic. So sure. They're not new to it. They're not new to it at all, Kent.
Yeah, no, not at all. And it's good that they made the correlation. I still feel that they should be airing all of that old ESPN Classic, all of that still, just to for the pure wrestling fans, for the wrestling fans that even complain about today's wrestling. I think, hey, well then watch all of that because that was always highly entertaining. Triple H, he's selling it, man. He's selling it. Sports is entertainment. It's no longer sports entertainment. I see what they're doing. I see what they're doing with the clever remixes to everything that old Vincent Kennedy McMahon put together. I get it. Hey, you know what? At the end of the day, the flag was planted, and we're here now. We're here now. I will say, and I guess, man, spoiler alert. I guess, but we're going to keep talking about it. But the opening, like, monologue and vignette and all that. That was the best part of the whole PLE for me. So, sorry.
When I tell you, hey, just so y'all know, I'm playing injured right now. So if y'all see me hurting, laughing, like my whole right side is killing me. Like Camp said, as long as it's not the left,
right,
I'm good. But yeah, I'm sore. Sure. All right. But we go get into that piece.
Yeah.
Because yeah. Triple H got some explaining to do. We're actually going to start this off with Triple H having some explaining to do because the first match of the night is John Cena, Brock Lesnar. Now, we pretty much thought this was probably going to be a squash.
Yeah.
And it kind of was, right?
Yeah.
But there was a lot of complaints about the first match of the night. And it might have set the mood for the rest of the night when we think about it. First match of the night, John Cena, Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar win after four or five F5s. You know, Paul Heyman. Yeah, Paul Heyman did the introductions and everything. So everybody like, oh, it's lit. Indianapolis was, the crowd was hype. But how did you feel about the match?
So, one, I want to say off the rip, I expected this. I think when we did our predictions and even the week before, I was like, we kind of know what's going to happen. Either John Cena going to get beat up the whole match and win, or he just going to get mashed out and lose. And we got a decent combination of it. We got a better version of Brock Lesnar versus Goldberg. You know, it's and it's not too. I mean, again, we've been around since the beginning for these two, though. So maybe this is for the wrestling fans that are 30 that are mad. Like, they didn't get more. But, like, if you've been around as long as we have and been watching those two gentlemen for as long as we have, you shouldn't have been surprised at all. This wasn't there's no way in the retirement year for John Cena with Brock Lesnar coming back in the midst of controversy that we're going to get something different. Like, if y'all were expecting the dream match that would have been Kurt Angle versus Bret Hart, then you played yourself. That was never going to happen. So, that, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, this was as advertised. I could maybe see some controversy around it being the first match, but also in my mind, first WrestlePalooza, you got John Cena and Brock Lesnar. In my estimation, I'm thinking that's a John Cena call. Like, yo, let's do this. Let me get this L so I can go ahead, do my PR, do my thing in Indianapolis, in the Circle City, sign as many autographs as I can, you know, because there has to be something different for WrestlePalooza. And I was waiting for a lot of the homies that I've seen that went to it to, like, show me something different than the actual event itself. But for me, I think that was just a nice, yo, let's get Johnny out of here early so he can do his thing out there and heal up for whenever the next time we're going to see him again, since we've already told the world that this is his last time on SmackDown and his last time on Raw.
I like to see kids cry. We got it. Let me first say that. Like, when they showed the little white kid crying, and then the little black girl with the headphones on sad. Mm. You know what I said? It worked. Yeah. It worked. Yeah. Hopefully this is not it. But it worked. And I believe you're right too. If anybody was expecting Kurt Angle, Undertaker at No Mercy, if you was expecting Shawn Michaels, Kurt Angle, if you was expecting Shawn Michaels, Chris Jericho, then you played yourself.
Sure.
Like, you played yourself. I think the match did what it was supposed to do. You hoped that, well, first of all, the packages showed, like, John Cena be struggling against dude.
Yeah.
Yep. What I loved about it, and I had to look at it and be like, yo, he right. Brock Lesnar saying, if I never left, y'all wouldn't even be talking about John Cena. This dude a fraud. And I'm basically going to show y'all he a fraud. And they did what they were supposed to do.
Yeah.
He was a fraud, so to speak. Yeah. It was no reason to go up in there thinking that you was going to get some five-star match. You was going to get a moment to where it may be the beginning of the end of the John Cena retirement tour. It might tell that story. In fact, I mean, I know John Cena is married. You know, we might get the classic Rocky IV moment. You can't win. Like, we might get something, but I think the match did what it was supposed to do.
Yeah. And, you know, for the younger listeners, viewers, and, you know, just people just getting adjusted to wrestling, I think it's only right to the First Black Champ podcast tell you first and foremost that Brock Lesnar is Bigfoot. He's literally Bigfoot because he looks like a mountain man. He hasn't aged. For some reason, when he shows up to a PLE, he looks larger than life, and he just beats people up. You get what you pay for. Like, people, when they say they see Bigfoot, whether it's in North Dakota or in a Sonics jersey in Washington State, all you get is the picture and the moment. You never know what he could be doing. And, you know, Brock Lesnar, along with Vince McMahon, but specifically even in his absence, Brock Lesnar has done a great job of being the attraction. If I can speak, and maybe I don't think this is a hot take. I don't think it's a hot take at all. I think Brock Lesnar is quite possibly the greatest attraction in pro wrestling ever. And that's not to say that you have to love his matches, put him in your top five, and say he should have 18 title reigns. It's not to say that. It's just to say that every time Brock Lesnar comes through, whether you love or hate it, whether you laugh or cry, whether you were excited or you pissed off, he created you a moment. And you can always say that no matter what happens, no matter who it's against, and no matter what year it is. And WrestlePalooza needed a moment. Now, do we value it, the elder statesman of wrestling fans of his career? Probably not. But for the young people, you know, in 10 years from now, or whenever they decide to become maybe wrestling journalists, wrestlers themselves, have podcasts, whatever they decide, that moment at WrestlePalooza, or what they remember from even just the pandemic Lesnar until now, so from 2020 to 2025, they'll be like, yo, Brock Lesnar was like, they'll be talking about him like OG's talking about Andre the Giant. And mission accomplished. Again, I don't necessarily have a dog in the fight at this point, but I do want people to just understand their rage, I guess. That's what I want to happen. I want people to understand their anger or their just displeasure, because you know, y'all might be thinking that everybody has to be booked for a five-star match, and Lesnar, Brock Lesnar, has never been the guy necessarily for that yet. He can do that, but he is meant to be what he is, and that is the greatest wrestling attraction in pro wrestling history.
However, there was a lot of complaints about the run of John Cena in this retirement tour.
Yeah.
He goes heel because The Rock and all of that shit. He's at WrestleMania as a heel. Clearly it's not working. I said since day one, since his first promo, this ain't right. He comes back as a face at SummerSlam, loses the belt to Cody. We get the Brock Lesnar thing. Do you have any complaints outside of the Rock shit? Because I know that.
Yeah.
But do you have any other complaints about this retirement tour? Is Triple H, John Cena, and the WWE doing this right?
Short answer, yes. They're doing it right because it's the first time it's ever been done. You know what I mean? Like, there is no, oh, well, Flair went out like this, or Shawn went out like this, or, you know, we've never in the world of wrestling had a superstar come out, a legendary superstar come out, say, hey, you know what? We about to hang it up. So let's have as much fun as we can. And then what does that look like? Because we were all kind of in shock, because the first thing I thought, even when John Cena made the announcement a year ago now, because it's September, over a year ago now, I was thinking, well, he's not about to be full time. Like, he tripping off the four or five dates and how that's hurting him. And then if you ever pay attention to John Cena interviews and just the conversations he's been having for the last 3 years, not even in the last year, the last 3 years, about, yo, you know what? When I feel like I ain't got it no more, this is it. Or, you know, hey, I'm going to gracefully step to the side while I still got my health and wellness, and let it go to the guys that can really do this. And that, like, if I'm a step slow, this, that, and the third. So I think you have to be very careful with how you deal with all of this, because just like John Cena is absolutely deserving of this, and this is a rarity, I also don't want people to think that this is the thing to do now. Like, once a wrestler hit 45, 47, whatever, or whatever age, that, oh, they automatically get in the retirement run. No, 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 no. No, you're not John Cena. Be clear. Like, there's even a bar for this. So, you know, and it's going to take a very special person to do this again. We shouldn't see another one of these, bang, for 10 years. And that's putting it light. Like, I don't like, so I'll say short answer, yes. Was it more to be desired? I guess. But how do you desire more for something you've never seen before?
Okay. I agree with you for the most part.
Okay.
Right? No, for the most part, I agree with you. Here's where we differ. Who he's putting over.
Yeah.
And now granted, who did Ric Flair put over? If Russ says Ric Flair is the bar, I'll take that. The only reason why I say who he's putting over is because, to me, there was one person that could have been put over in this and didn't even have to beat John Cena. And it would have looked better for him. And now he mad. He mad at the GM talking about he want Aleister Black. I'm going to stand on it that when Damian Priest defeated Drew McIntyre in that Hell in a Cell match, when that happened, Damian Priest should have been in line to wrestle John Cena. The only reason why I disagree with you is because of that. I don't want to see John Cena go up against the homies before he did.
Right.
All the time.
Yeah, you got me there. I won't front. You got me there.
That's the only reason why I disagree with you. Yeah. I think it was a great amount of momentum around Damian Priest that if John Cena is in the range of him, he gets shot to the moon. But I felt like Russ just said they gave up on him. And maybe it's not Damian Priest. Maybe it's Drew McIntyre.
I got a question.
Black. Go ahead.
Question for you. Because I hear you. But hindsight, right? Because now we're in the moment. Do we kind of think that maybe John Cena can't put people over in this era, specifically this new generation, because of what happened with Austin Theory and because of what happened with Solo?
So no.
Okay.
I think he can. You just got to have somebody that's in that position. Solo's over. Like, Solo is a former U.S. champion now. He got the MFT. It's just that the Bloodline story is done. Or at least for right now, is done, right? Austin Theory, you just put Austin Theory there. It was really no rhyme and reason for John Cena to be in a match with Austin Theory when we think in hindsight. Yeah. And even then, it was like, for real? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. it's Austin Theory. Drew and Damian are not only former world champions, they were in the best feud at the beginning of the year.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the winner of that could have at least put themselves in a prime spot. But what we've gotten is John Cena versus the homies. And that's the only reason why I differ. I don't want to see John. I didn't want to see John Cena versus Randy Orton like that, because I knew what the outcome was going to be. If he would have wrestled AJ Styles, I knew what the outcome was going to be. If he would have wrestled Edge, Chris Jericho, Christian, Umaga,
CM Punk, right?
CM Punk, Big Show, JBL. We know what the outcome was going to be.
Yeah,
hell. Brock Lesnar.
Right.
We know what the outcome going to be.
Yep.
But I think that John Cena had an opportunity to see somebody like Damian Priest win that and Triple H and them say, yo, we gonna have them fight for the title. Mm-hmm. That's it. Like, who is the person that John Cena wrestled that we was like, okay, they giving somebody a shot?
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. Yeah. And by default, it's Logan Paul. And he don't need it.
So, hey, look. My point.
Yeah, you got me. You got me.
They gave it to the person that didn't need it.
Yeah.
Because he's also an attraction.
Yeah. Yep.
So he ain't really need it. But outside of that, I'm cool with everything else. Like, I didn't need to see John. Like, the only other person that I think people will say, and I see in the chat, is LA Knight. Nope. Yeah. Nope.
No.
And it's nothing against LA Knight. It is nothing against LA Knight. It has everything to do with the position that LA Knight is in currently. He lost. Damian won. And again, one of the top feuds of the year. I don't think it should have been anybody else but him. But we're here. Outside of that, I think everything is running smoothly. This is attraction versus attraction. This is John Cena basically saying goodbye. Mm-hmm. But now, Brock Lesnar beats him, and he beats him badly.
Yeah.
So I ask you, who should be John Cena's final opponent? Brock Lesnar or the Field?
The Field, for sure. If I had to, taking everything in consideration, taking in parts of this whole conversation, all of it, this entire segment, you know who I would like to see his last opponent be? Trick Williams. Because if you remember, one of the last few times John Cena was on NXT, the conversation was about how Melo was next, but Trick was trying to be patient for his time. And with that, he stopped John and was like, hey, man, you know what? And I'm paraphrasing here, or totally jacking it up, whichever one you want to call it. He was like, yo, when did you know it was time to, when did you know your time was now, basically? And how to deal with that? When did you know you wanted to be a champion or whatever? And then John Cena looked at him, kind of questioned him, like, yo, ain't that your man's? Speaking to Melo. And then kind of like left that open to where, like, okay, is he about to listen to John Cena? Is he about to turn heel? Is he about to be a super face? And fast forward, look what Trick Williams has built for himself. I think if it's about putting somebody over, if it's about giving us something we've never seen before, getting the last best version of John Cena with somebody that's out of nowhere, that's the person I would like it to be. Don't get me wrong. I think Drew McIntyre is deserving. I think Damian Priest is deserving. Shoot, I'm trying to avoid The Miz. but that is a possibility out there. You know what I'm saying? But if you gave me a choice that would say, okay, salute to John Cena. Shout to John Cena. See, that's why he wanted him. Then I put my money on Trick Williams as being that last opponent.
If John Cena was in the business of putting somebody over, then yeah, I think it would be whoever you feel like is next. Mm-hmm. Whether it is Trick Williams, whether it is Joe Hendry, whoever, right? But because they've done what they've done, I don't think it's nobody but Brock. And it has to be a specialty match. His last match needs to be Brock Lesnar in the Last Man Standing match. No, John Cena, the King of the Last Man Standing match.
Yeah, that's true. But yuck. Hey, look, they can do that. There must be another Saturday Night's Main Event coming up or something. Because he got like five or four appearances left, I think.
I think we have four.
Yeah.
Think it's at 5 or 4. Last match. He's gonna be in Boston. He's gonna be in Madison Square Garden. Mm-hmm. His last one is in DC. So I think he got 5 left.
Yeah, I mean, yuck. We've wasted a lot of time on Brock Lesnar. But if this is what he wanted to do, because he didn't get all the matches that he could have because of death, drugs, or acquisition, transfers, whatever, then hey, I guess I'm not enthused or impressed, but hey, okay.
Yeah, man, like that's my only thing. Like that is my only thing right there. Is now we got to figure out how we end this. And I think the only way you can end this is the last couple of joints is with Brock, and you finally climbed a mountain that you have not climbed since you've been here. You've never got over that hump. Are you really that person? He beat the shit out of me. Matter of fact, Brock Lesnar, and if they do a three match setup, Jesus. Brock Lesnar should beat him twice. And then it's something that is, I mean, the way they got it set up, it feels like that's where we at.
Listen, no. I'm sorry. I'm not rolling with this. I'm going to speak some other things to existence right now, because literally anybody but Brock Lesnar. And look, it ain't even because I necessarily like hate either one of them. It ain't that deep, right? It's just better things to do with our time. Shoot, that sounds super crazy. He can pair him up with Brock Lesnar. Yeah, but no, go Seth Rollins at that point. Get the CM Punk match out the way then. Like, whatever. Go against, no, don't say The Rock. No. But I'd rather see The Miz. I'd rather see Cena Miz than Brock Lesnar 2 more times. There's now we're not utilizing our time wisely, because no matter what match, and here's the other thing. I wanted to say this too, and now that just made me think of this. Even with all these bookings and all these matches or whatever, you know what's been the biggest part of John Cena's whole retirement run? The intro. People are there for the entrance. I'm almost convinced that John Cena don't even really need to wrestle. I think they just need to cue the music, let him come down to the ring, let him say something, and then start his intro again as he leaves, because they're popping in every city like they've never heard it before. So it's literally like all you need is the music and Alicia Taylor, and this is a wrap. Don't book any matches if we're doing this. Sorry. Sorry.
Hey, man. Look, we'll see what happens. Because that's what it feels like to me. But let's go to the Usos, Bron Breakker. Usos versus the Bronze. How in the hell Jey Uso bust himself open, pause? Man. Is beyond me.
Yeah. Maybe the yeet glasses must have cut him real quick.
Man, I watched that part and I was just like, why he bleeding?
Yeah.
Like, what did I miss? Why he bleeding? But Jey Uso took the pin too, which was surprising to me. Mm-hmm. So what was your thoughts about this tag team match? Who came out there looking like the strongest person?
I mean, you know what? Honestly, with just that, those four, nobody's beating Bron Breakker right now. Like, that's and by design. This is, you know, Bron Breakker is the reason why I've been giving that faction a chance. And every week, every month, he keeps being like, yeah, you know what? That wasn't such a bad take, Cam. Yeah, you should. Yeah, that's fine because your money was on that guy and he's still killing shit, even though division don't even look like it exists no more. And we could talk about that later if we want, but like it literally don't look like it even exists anymore. But I've also been vocal, and I think we've talked about it a couple times about how the main event Jey Uso thing ain't a thing no more. So him taking the pin, because shoot, I thought he was taking the pin in the was that last match, the last Fatal 4-Way?
Fatal 4-Way.
Yeah. So I've been inadvertently handing Jey Uso L's all year. So I wasn't shocked at all. Especially since we are in the midst of a character change. And the character change that I think will be for the better. Because with all that said about the in-ring, I do like what's happening out of the ring. And we just may, be in the situation where, again, we get another Samoan that as a face, not the greatest mic guy. But as a heel, oh, he might be turning the fuck up. Because when he was trying to be a face, wasn't feeling a lot of the promos. I've been saying from the beginning, and I mean the beginning, meaning 2012, as far as the WWE run is concerned, Jimmy is the better mic guy. But they did the back and forth Uso penitentiary piece, and Jey Uso did the best promo of the year for me from him. So I look at that moment off the rip, and I'm like, okay, either Jey Uso's finally getting comfortable, or it's just so natural for him to be a heel that this is just going to work in spite of everything. So for me, Bron Breakker looked the best, and Jey Uso looks like he's transitioning. I hope this does bode well for Jimmy Uso, though, because he's still one of my favorites out of their entire family, and I do think there is something great and special for him to do, but I'll keep it a buck with y'all. I don't know exactly what that is.
When The Rock comes out and says that this is his pick, and it's Jey Uso, because that's why I feel that's the next step. My man be on the phone now telling people, talking to people. You don't know who he's talking to now. He looking at his brother crazy. Oh, I'm sounding like, you sounding like Roman now. When The Rock says that that is the guy whose soul I took. And I ain't really take his soul. I kept it in the family. Because I'm gonna continue saying this. Mm-hmm. You said this too. Roman versus Jay's not over.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No.
It's not over.
No.
And we're going to that. And we're going to see that at Mania. Mm. I damn near think that's marked down. And we're going to get like Jay versus Roman at Mania.
And we don't need nothing for that, but that's to book it. I like it.
Because it just feels like to me, Seth versus Roman is going to happen.
Yeah.
Cody versus somebody's like Jay versus Roman has to happen. And we got to have a rubber match. Because hell, it even feels like to me that Roman Reigns is starting to phase himself out as a full-time wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
So if that were to happen, who going to take over? Jay. So I'm excited for that. Mm-hmm. But the person who came out shining in this match is Bronson Reed. This was the performance I was waiting on for Bronson Reed. And he's been giving some good performances.
Yeah.
But on this show, I have said for years, we need a Vader-level big man to be a monster heel. We need a Vader-level monster heel. That's Bronson Reed. When he comes off of that top rope, hit you with the... No, he gets...
yeah, right. Had a little tremor.
Like, yeah, a little tremor. Yeah, you ain't getting up from that.
Yeah.
You ain't getting up from that. They got them a monster level heel in Bronson Reed. I agree with you. The Vision don't feel, but I also been saying, the Vision never felt like a group to me.
Yeah.
It felt like a group project, but it never felt like a group. It never felt like, and I'm not even going to go horseman and all that shit. It never even felt like, you know what it feels like? Dangerous Alliance. Was the Dangerous Alliance was a group of people.
Yeah.
It never felt like a collective.
Yeah. Like, it wasn't one central music. They never showed up to each other's matches.
Right.
It was just Paul Lee was the glue.
People. Yeah. It was just Paul Lee was with people.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I got Rick Rude, Steve Austin, the wrestler of the 90s.
Yeah.
I got Bobby Eaton over here with Arn Anderson. Mm-hmm. Larry Sabisco just popped up.
You know what I mean?
Medusa be around here helping. We might wrestle with each other sometimes.
Yeah.
But make no mistake about it. Rick Rude is the man. Followed you know by Steve Austin. Them really the only two that I care about.
Yeah.
Arn gonna take care of Bobby Eaton. Like they old enough and wildly vets enough. They gonna get their joints off.
Yeah.
And Larry Sabisco, he just here.
Yeah.
We might wear red sometimes. we all wear red and everything, but this Rick Rude, I'm over here with him. That's what the Vision looks like. The Vision looks like, it's me and Seth. Me and Seth on ESPN. We talking on First Take with each other. Bron, I ain't coming up here with you. Bronson, you ain't coming up here. Oh, there go Brock want me to holler at him. Hold on. Yo, Brock, like, don't feel like a group. It feel like a group project.
Yeah.
Like, it don't feel like Vice Lords. It feels like Vice Lord factions.
Yeah, Paul Heyman just the connect at this point.
Yeah, like
remember Snowfall when Franklin just kept going to dude crib and all of a sudden it was just other people in there getting work too.
Yeah.
It was like, yeah, you know, I sold them too. What do you mean?
Like, we got the CVL right here. We got CVL right here. We got these two travelers right here. Oh, he 5-star general right there. I got to see what he talking about. Like, that's what this group feels like to me. So it don't feel like they're a group. It feel like it's a, better yet, Heenan family. Was the Heenan family really a group outside of the Survivor Series?
Nah. Nope. It was more like, and what was so crazy about Bobby Heenan, he'd pick one to roll with like every quarter.
Right.
He's like, one minute Andre with him the most, then Mr. Perfect with him the most. Then Ravisher Rick Rude. I was like, oh, okay. He just, you know what? Let me get my guys up there. Hey, yo, Haku. Oh, Haku, need a manager? But, hey, bro, I got you. Get him.
Right. Like, as much as I'm a Bobby Heenan stan.
Yeah.
The Heenan family wasn't really a faction.
No.
It was employees. It was his employees. Like, yo, Andre the Giant, he don't know, but he worked for me. Ravisher Rick Rude, know he worked for me. Kurt Hennig, know he worked for me. Haku, oh, he know he worked for me. I'm gonna get the Brooklyn Brawler off the street because the Red Rooster over there tripping.
Yeah.
Paul Orndorff, he worked for me. Oh, I ain't feeling it. I'm gonna sell your contract to Mr. Fuji or Slick.
Yeah.
Like, they was doing trades. Like,
yeah.
Bobby Heenan, Slick, Mr. Fuji, they weren't really managers when you think about it. They was GMs. They was general managers. They weren't just managers. GM. Oh, I don't want him no more. Hey, Slick, give me $10,000 in your limo, and I'll give you what, like Warlord.
I think that's a good deal.
You know? That's all that was, right? That's what the Vision feels like to me.
Mm.
We might wear the same color sometimes. Like they was wearing black. They got the little leather jackets and shit.
Yeah.
But yeah, they just three wrestlers that just so happen to have the same manager. Okay. Not three people working together for a common cause, which is the own Raw.
Yeah.
It's three wrestlers who just so happens to have the same manager.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, it's okay. Like, it's like AEW, and we got like the Trios Championship, and they like, yo, we gonna get the Trios Championship.
No. Right. It's like, yeah, because everybody needs that.
Yeah, it's like, no, we got the same manager. Like, we all work together. The wife loves when we do this. Hey, man, he the sales manager. And Bronson Reed and Bron Breakker, they work in the same department. And Seth Rollins, he works in another department. But they all work with each other.
Oh, they all work with each other.
That's all.
Oh, man.
Tell me if it makes sense.
No, hey, listen. If it makes sense, I would have been staffed. But it don't. I mean, but it do. So I won't.
Yeah, so that's how that feel to me. Let's move on to the Women's World Championship match. Stephanie Vaquer versus Io Sky. Stephanie Vaquer with the win. Was that a star-turning match for her? Now, we looking at Stephanie Vaquer, even though she's been propped up to be next up. Are we looking at Stephanie Vaquer, though, like we looking at Rhea Ripley and Bianca Belair and Tiffany Stratton and Charlotte Flair? Like, is she in that upper echelon level now?
I think that is the consensus. I think that's the want. And, you know, I mean, Stephanie's had a great year, so to speak, and this is just another one of those moments. Yeah, it's hard to deny it, especially with the shape the women's division is in. And I know that might sound crazy because obviously it's in a great space, but we're also in that semi-stagnant period because Bianca's out, Rhea's not in the title picture, Liv is gone. So it is prime opportunity for somebody to kind of step in and, not for nothing, give her respect. That was Io Sky. So these two meeting at WrestlePalooza, first ever WrestlePalooza at that, and given that match with Stephanie coming away with the dub, I mean, that's great. I think that's everything that Triple H could want as we're closing out the year 2025, because respectfully, I think he had his money on Tiffany Stratton.
Who took a hard bump.
Yeah.
A hard bump on SmackDown. I definitely do think she's in that level. She's on that level now.
Mm-hmm.
I do think this match helped because Io Sky could have a great match with anybody.
Yeah.
And let me just say this now, y'all. This match saved the pay-per-view.
And you're not the first person I saw say that.
Like, they saved the pay-per-view. This pay-per-view was a bunch of bullshit outside of that match. So, yeah, that saved the pay-per-view, y'all. Don't throw that out there. And when we get to what we're going to talk about a little bit later, it's going to be interesting to see what they put up against. But no, I do think a star was made because that match was stellar. One of the best women matches of the year. CM Punk, AJ Lee versus Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch. CM Punk and AJ Lee took home the win. Yeah. Did the match do the job, though?
For me, no. But then at the exact same time, it's exactly what I expected. Like, when I tell you, I thought that match was going to happen exactly the way it happened, it was almost like I helped produce the bitch. I didn't like this was there was nothing left to my personal imagination. I'm going to I meant to do this, and I'm going to Google AJ Lee doing the Black Widow in 2015 versus now. I'm no professional wrestler, and I'm not trying to hate, but it just didn't look like it. I feel that she forgot how to do her finisher. That's all I'm going to say. I don't know. I'm not going to jump out the window. I'm not about to down AJ because it's good to see her back. I know I saw people complaining about the ring rust and all that, but I was like, dog, it's been 10 years, bro. Like, what you want her to do? But yeah, no, this was exactly what I expected. Everything from all the double team moves to the hugging and kissing to the breaking the table with the girls, but the guy, like literally everything I thought would happen did. So sure. You know what I mean? Like now, if y'all, for the people that's mad about Cena Lesnar, no, be mad at this. Be mad at the intergender tag match, because that literally was everything that every other intergender tag team match has been. To the letter.
Yeah. Like, it was, though. It was. It was what I expected. It was fun. It was to get her back in. I think as she gets back in front of the camera, you're going to get a better version. But as far as a return goes, I bet that's what we needed right there. Which gets us to our main event of the evening. Cody Rhodes versus Drew McIntyre. Let me just say, I didn't think the match was bad. I just was like, did we need this for this?
Yeah. So
if there was not going to be any wow moments.
Yeah. Listen, man. Now, I ain't gonna lie, this match did piss me off. And I'm gonna say it like this, with danger of sounding like a member of the IWC. I'm gonna say this, though. I am tired of Drew McIntyre having that match. And when I say that match, meaning, wow, that was probably the best single performance of the night. Wow, Drew McIntyre really is a strong athletic MF. Damn, I can't believe he just lost the title by a second. It's to the point now where I'm looking for Drew to be all elite and just beat Adam Page on Monday. Something else got to happen for him, because now it's OD. Now we're tripping. Drew McIntyre, and this is my guarantee hope for the week. This ain't a guarantee. This is my guarantee hope. I guarantee hope that Drew McIntyre wins a world title, because win or lose, he's earned it. In every feud of this year and last year, Drew McIntyre is on a 2-year run of making everybody challenging or having a title look great in defeat. And they already effed over the guy that he put over earlier this year. So when is the payoff for Drew McIntyre coming? Because it has to be here soon. Like, this is ridiculous. Booking him against Cody Rhodes at WrestlePalooza, and Cody's the champ, and Cody's super part-time. Cody, we've seen Cody less than John Cena this year. I don't even understand why Drew don't beat him. Hey, even if it is to lose at the last PLE or the last SmackDown of the year, whichever one it is, it don't even matter to me. But there's got to be some payoff for Drew McIntyre, because this is ridiculous now. Now, this is where Paul and Lee Fitting need to get their shit together. Straight up and down.
Yeah, I'm tired of the almost doesn't count Drew McIntyre.
Yeah.
I'm done. And that's why I didn't want to see that match. Because I didn't want to see another match with Drew McIntyre almost getting there, only to lose. Tired of it for him. Back. It is irritating as hell for me at this point that we're getting that Christian almost. And then you're getting the promos from him basically like, well, you know, you doing all of this and these people don't even mess with you like that ass shit.
Yeah.
That's even more irritating to me because the way that I look at it, Drew McIntyre is the storyline that they was trying to put on Karrion Kross.
Mm.
Trying to tell people like, do you really like, yeah, trying to get people to think and nah, fam. Drew McIntyre, see, this is why there needs to be a shuffling of the deck. But this is also when you know that they're putting a lot of stock into one or two people. But the way that I see it, Drew McIntyre and this whole he's almost there shit has got to stop. Because at this point, it's like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
It's old. It's tiring. You went through the, and this is the whole reason why I'm mad about the Damian Priest thing. Mm-hmm. Because you did all of this just to give him the jelly roll Logan Paul spot, which they won.
Yeah.
Logan Paul got the pin, though.
Yep.
And then you put him in this spot just to lose? Yo, stop playing with my mans, fam. That's how I feel. Y'all playing with my mans. And it ain't, it's, nah. If we gonna do this, send that man to AAA. Right? Yeah. And have him destroy some people over there.
Right.
Like, hey, do that.
Have him body the ref that keep getting in his way. That's actually the next match. You want to talk about some good booking. Book Drew McIntyre with the ref that be in his way all the time when he's trying to kick people's face off. That's what I want to see.
Do that. So overall, it sounds like you've already given your answer. But if we were grading WrestlePalooza, what we grading it?
For what it was supposed to be. I'm going to give it a solid C if I had to give it a grade. And honestly, that C is low-key because I'm old. If I was probably 30, maybe even 35 years old, I'd probably give it a B-. Because you got everything that you were supposed to get from an inaugural PLE. You literally got the biggest and best legends of today and yesterday who can still go, and that is your Brock Lesnar, your John Cena, CM Punk even is in that equation as well. But then you got Drew McIntyre, you got Cody Rhodes, you got Becky, you got Seth, Bron Breakker, you got the Usos. You got your moment that you didn't expect, your wow moment, so maybe this is where Triple H doesn't lie to us, because who definitely knew that Paul Heyman was going to come out and do the intro for or the announcing for Brock Lesnar. You got a great women's match that, hey, you probably expected good, but you didn't expect it to be the best of the night. And other than that, I mean, you saw blood, you saw tables break. So, you know, I'll give it a solid C because I'm old. But hey, maybe if I'm a little younger, I think a little more highly of this.
Or if this ain't the best example of overpromising and underdelivering that I've ever seen, this is what this was. Mm. Triple H and TKO overpromised. We're gonna get some surprises. What surprise did we get?
Indianapolis crowd being on fire. I don't know. I don't know. Because because Indianapolis is actually a really good wrestling city. It's not in that A tier, but it's in the like second tier for wrestling fans, you know.
Yeah. No, I'm straight. Like, we got no surprises. We got a Stephanie Hall of Fame announcement that she didn't know. So if that was your surprise, you could have kept that shit between husband and wife inside y'all bedroom.
Yeah.
Like, if your surprise was, I'm going to announce to my wife in front of the crowd in Indianapolis that she's going to be in the Hall of Fame. If that was your announcement, if that was your surprise, you should have kept that in the bedroom, Jack.
Yeah.
Sorry, Triple H. This does not mean to sound disrespectful.
Yeah.
But that's something you should have kept at home.
Yeah. Or announce the Evolution. I mean, it's not like we're to hit harder there.
Right. Oh, she's sitting over there. So we gonna have Taker come over there. All right, that's dope. That's great. We have Taker come over there and we're gonna announce that she's in the Hall of Fame. All right, bet. Yay. Fam, when we was talking about surprises, we was talking about a surprise call up, a surprise jump, a goddamn vignette come across the screen. Somebody from TNA popping up. We ain't getting right. None of that. We got Saturday night's main event on ESPN. That's what we got. Like,
yeah.
I'm straight on that. I'm straight on all that. That, what we doing here? So, because my man's overpromised and underdelivered, that pay-per-view gets a D to me.
Mm. Okay, fair.
And the only reason why it gets a D, the only reason why it gets a D is because that great women's match that we got.
Okay. Oh, so damn, they failed today. They came out.
Yeah.
And respect to your analysis. I'm not even here to dispute it. In hindsight, though, what could have been a surprise worthy of WrestlePalooza in September when we know we got, what, two or three PLEs, potentially a Saturday night's main event, and of course, because they're their own events in itself, the last Raw and SmackDowns of the year?
You was better off doing the Dusty finish.
Mm.
You was better off doing something where a finesse happened or somebody helped somebody out that we didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
A vignette of somebody coming back or something. That's because that's what he said. Not because we wanted it. Yeah. You the one who, oh man, it's a lot of surprises in store. What is it then?
Mm.
That's why.
Okay. I'm not mad at it. You know, even as we talk surprises, I literally don't know what I would have wanted to see because, again, it's the third going into the fourth quarter of the year, and it's the tail end of wrestling. Honestly, I don't expect a lot of big surprises. I just expect the runway to Survivor Series, which now is almost indefinitely War Games matches, even though he said, oh, it won't, every, you know, feud doesn't deserve a War Games, but that's literally what we're leading up to every time. Kind of wild, no titles changed over the weekend. if anything, at least give us one of those. I don't even care which one, but just like Somebody should have dropped the title somewhere over the weekend. That's how I feel. That's the only. So,
man, you could have gave us. You could have gave us a legend or two to pop up.
Yeah.
Motherfucker, just
shoot.
Wouldn't even give us that.
Cope can definitely come do a date. Y'all know.
Wrestling that day. One and then two. No, I mean, look, we could say that. I'm not even. It ain't even about anybody that he wrestled. That he wrestled. That's on somebody else's organization or under contract with somebody else. They literally, he said, surprises in store. And the only surprise was his wife being announced for the Hall of Fame. Fan, you could have just had Trick Williams wave at the camera and say Trick was there. And that would have been a better surprise.
Yeah, crowd, because the crowd would have went up. Whoop that Trick. You know what I mean?
Right. You could have been like, yo, Kevin Owens is in the arena.
Now, no joke. That would have been ill. That would have been ill. Nobody turned heel. Nobody threw somebody through like some glass or nothing. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, damn. Come on, Paul. He got you. Got you.
And that's it. Now, we do have Crown Jewel that's coming up in Australia in a couple of weeks. And two matches that is, it's Australia.
I know. We'd see that light. See, they moved it so they can make room for Saudi Mania, because usually Crown Jewel was in Saudi Arabia. They moved it now. So now it ain't even Saudi Mania no more. We see what y'all doing.
So we got Seth Rollins versus Cody Rhodes. And we got Stephanie Vaquer versus the winner of Tiffany Stratton, Nia Jax, and Jade Cargill. Who needs to win out of everybody we talked about? Who needs this Crown Jewel Championship the most?
Who needs it the most? Jade Cargill. Because, unfortunately, people watch her lose matches and think her career is over. So for the dumb fans out there that don't really know how this works, let her win Crown Jewel, even though it wouldn't make sense now, though, because Stephanie's obviously going to win. But I would say her is like, yo, look, y'all, she won the Crown Jewel. See, now you don't think she'll be future Endeavor, you dumbasses. You know?
I'm going to say that Seth Rollins needs it the most.
Oh, okay.
He needs it the most. Reason why is because he becomes the mega champion of the WWE if he's that. I told y'all on this podcast that once they did what they did with him and Seth Rollins, Seth Rollins did the whole cash in and everything, that title around his waist became the number one championship. Against Cody Rhodes, he solidifies it. Cody Rhodes has already won it. He won it last year.
Yeah.
Seth Rollins needs to win it again to let everybody know that the world championship is the number one championship. Point blank, period. I'm the man. He needs to show that he's the man. We'll see what happens. But that's what he got to do.
I like it.
So, man, I mean, that's really it from what we've seen, man. Any guarantees on your end, though?
For guarantees, no, I want to wait. I kind of feel like I have a guarantee loading with Jimmy and Jey Uso, but I do think I got room for another guarantee hope. I had one for Drew McIntyre. But here's my goddamn hope for the Usos, though, is that when Jay starts ascending to the tribal chief type of role, that we don't get more Jimmy versus Jay, because that was just that was unfortunately a big disappointment at WrestleMania. I would just like to see them maybe run in tandem you know, maybe instead of a Cain and Abel versus thing, they like the Cobra twins from G.I. Joe. Or, you know what I mean, or just something of where they work in team and in tandem so that they can make something greater happen with family unity. If I had to give you an extra guarantee hope, since I have no real guarantee tea this week.
I would say my guarantee tea is that in some way, shape, or form, the Bloodline storyline will be back.
Okay.
I think that would be back in some type of way. So, outside of that, I will say yesterday was a pretty dope day of wrestling, with AEW, in the WWE. I have a guarantee hope.
Okay.
My guarantee hope is that the WWE stops trying to run counter programming against AEW.
Yeah.
I think it's lame. I get it. It's not like it's not been around, but in this day and age of what we living in, see, back when we were kids, you didn't have a lot of ways to watch the product.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Now you do. WWE, TKO, Nick Khan, Triple H. At this point, kill the counter programming shit. It's not worth it at the end of the day. If anything, it, to me, does not strengthen what we look at as wrestling. It cheapens it by trying to run counter programming against a program which, by all accounts, don't do what you do on NXT when it comes to the production. Think it's lame. I hope they kill it.
Yeah. And I mean, because there is obviously some truth and some perspective of the game from the internet, it also looks like they should stop doing it because they actually lost last night. Like it looks like they lost. Just from, now granted, I was at work until the late night, but what I saw just from what their social media was posting versus what the WWE's was posting, I was like, oh, wow. It looks like a lot of moments happened at the AEW joint and a lot of things that we expected happened from the WWE joint. And then there was just some funny things, some just classic kind of just like wrestling recipe things happen. Like I like the way they position the Ricochet Bobby Lashley moments of the night. I like how they show Edge paying homage to John Cena in the middle of a match. And there was just, and I mean, not for nothing, I think Tony Storm cut the best promo before the night even began. So you have that. And then I've seen a lot more people saying like, hey, yo, I ain't gonna lie, AEW got this one. Like, they finally got this one. They were like, look, this was just a flat out better show. Hey, to Russ's point, like a lot of people were genuinely like, nah, the AEW show was just better than WWE show last night. And when you can say that, and the card shining moments, well, most of them were your vets, you might want to steer out the way, because what may be potentially happening, and it probably already is, and I got HBO Max, so I will be able to check this out. But it sounds like what is literally happening now is that the OGs figured it out. The OGs figured it out, and Tony Khan has got out the way. And while Triple H is obviously doing blockbuster, monumental, money-making things for wrestling, these guys are sticking to the wrestling. And no matter what, they're never going to be bigger than the E, but they could definitely have a better run of product, and that could be concerning further down the road.
Yeah, well, we will see, because AEW definitely had the better show. And even with the bigger stars that the WWE had, I don't think that they put those stars in a better position than they was when this night started. So what was the whole point? I have no clue, other than to start the ESPN thing right now. You could have did that shit in Australia and had a way better show.
Hey, there it is. Hey, well, man, hey, listen, man, we appreciate y'all checking out this episode of the First Black Champ Podcast. Hey, listen, whenever you tune in and however you tune in and however you decide to, we appreciate it. And the way you contribute to the FBC community is also greatly appreciated. So please keep up the likes, the comments, the shares, hitting the comment threads, giving us questions, giving us your perspective on the events that you see and that we see and the ones that you see and we don't. You know what I'm saying? We always greatly appreciate it. Never stop doing that, because you are all the what make this community special and make it is what it is. And we humbly and graciously thank you. So if you ever want to talk about wrestling in an unconventional way, you do so by checking out the First Black Champ Podcast. It's the pick with the VP, DOC, and we are out. Fuck Johnny Wrestling.